Blog Talk Radio.
Rodolfo Roman, your host of The Roman Show. Today, we welcome Jimmy Rivera. He'll be fighting at the upcoming UFC Fight Night card in Europe. We talked to him about making his debut, making his first time inside the octagon, and what can we expect. Also, we take a look back at UFC 189, Conor McGregor winning the featherweight interim title. Robbie Lawler defeating Rory McDonald in a fight of the year candidate. Gosh, what a fight. This plus much more. Rodolfo Roman, your host, tweet me at The Roman Show. Roman Show starts right now.
Step down to the get down.
All right, whenever you're ready. You're ready.
5 seconds to the open.
Aquarius, watch that little gimbal.
We don't want you coming off in the bank.
Booster. Go.
Retro.
Go.
Vital.
Go. Fly.
Guidance.
Surgeon.
Go. Light.
Calm.
We're going light.
GNC.
We're going.
Tell me if go.
Control.
Go.
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 FAO.
We are go.
Network.
Go.
Recovery.
Go.
Capcom.
We're go. Fly.
Launch control. This is Houston. We are go for launch.
The Roman Show.
With your host, Rodolfo Roman.
Welcome, everyone, to another podcast of The Roman Show. I'm your host, Rodolfo Roman. Thanks for tuning in. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/rroman021, to see great interviews we got coming up. We got Tito Santana, we have Tisha Torres, Jovan St. Pierre, and so much more. So head on over there and subscribe to our YouTube channel and visit our website, theromanshow.com. We got the latest stuff there for you. Great interviews and so much more. It's another podcast, it's another show. I am writing solo today, but we speak to Jimmy Rivera, who makes his debut. This is the guy who competed in the World Series, the Fighting Bellator, also was on The Ultimate Fighter for an episode, and now gets his chance to enter the octagon against another Ultimate Fighter, and that's Marcus Brimage, and they will be taking this bout, UFC Fight Night, this Saturday in Glasgow, where that event will be taking place this weekend. We have a lot of fights this week as well, as we did this past week. The main event there is Bisping versus Talis Ledes, and that's going to be on Fox Sports 1 p.m. But Brimage and Rivera face off on UFC Fight Pass. That's at 10 a.m. So make sure you wake up very early to watch this fight card from the beginning. So we'll be talking to him in just a few seconds. Want to let everyone know that Otaku Life, which features several topics in the cosplay, gaming industry, anime, and so much more, is already on the Roman Show Network. You can check that out every Sunday with my co-host George Alonso, who is not on right now, but he will be this Sunday and next week here on the program to join me. But check that out. He had this show this past weekend. Great stuff. If you love all that cosplay, gaming, and so much more, that's the show you need to listen to keep yourself informed of the latest details in that world. We'll be talking some pro wrestling. We'll be talking some mixed martial arts. All of this plus much more on The Roman Show. But first, we're going to welcome in Jimmy Rivera, who takes on Marcus Brimage this weekend against Marcus Brimage. He is a local boy, as he trains at American Top Team. But he's going to face off against Rivera, making his debut. The Puerto Rican takes on Brimage this weekend. Let's take a listen. Hey, everyone, if you feel a little stressed out, you need yourself a great massage. The place to go to is Massages. Massagespace.com. That's Massagespace.com. They are located in Miami, Florida, for an affordable price. You'll be walking out of there like a champ. That's Massagespace.com. Trust me, I go there all the time. Say hello to Maria for me. All right, folks, the MMA action continues this weekend. Glasgow. Jimmy Rivera makes his debut on UFC Fight Night 72. The fight will be airing on UFC Fight Pass. Right now, we have the opportunity to speak to Jimmy. Jimmy, thanks for joining us here on The Roman Show, man.
Okay.
It's okay. Thanks for joining us, Jimmy, here on the program.
Thank you. No, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Well, Jimmy, it's well overdue. You're making your debut in the UFC against Marcus Brimage on this fight card. You're actually on the way. You're picking up the plane to head on over to Europe. But how are you feeling going into the show, man, making your debut?
I'm excited. I can't wait. I feel like it's been kind of long overdue, and I'm looking forward to it.
Now, you had a tease as you were part of the Ultimate Fighter experience back in with the Team Bisping versus Team Miller. How was that journey? Take me back to that, because you've been in several promotions from the World Series of Fighting to Bellator. You had your an opportunity there at the Ultimate Fighter, and your record is just phenomenal. But take me back a little bit about this journey that you've been on.
From the Ultimate Fighter, I kind of learned a lot. I didn't train the right way because I was fighting up a weight class and usually fight at 135. And from there, I learned a lot about myself, especially that my coaches weren't there and what I need to do and et cetera. And you really learn a lot when you don't have that support and that backing of your coaches and your family there. So I learned a lot from it. And then from there, I just kind of focused on, getting back into the UFC, fighting one fight at a time and hopefully getting the call eventually soon.
Yeah, and your last victory, your last fight actually was against Carson Beebe, a very respectable fighter who actually fought Marlon Morales, the champion over there at World Series of Fighting. Now, you were a fill-in, and now that knowing that Marcus Brimage's opponent was injured, but did this come out to you? How did you respond to this? Take me in there, Jimmy. I said, hey, we lost a guy. Can you make it? I mean, how was your response? How was your reaction?
My response was, yes, I can make it. Let's do it.
Now, were you preparing for another fight, another opportunity?
No, I was not preparing for another fight. I wasn't really scheduled for another fight probably until September. Yeah. But I'm always training, even when I don't have a fight. I'm always staying in the gym, because that's really important. I can't, not be training at all. So I'm always training and I'm working every day, coming to the gym, training, and then at the end of the day, I actually have a school in the city, a Tiger Showman school in the city that I go to and teach. So, I'm telling people, I have kids all the way to adults, motivating people to get in shape and helping them get in shape and learn self-defense. I've got to make sure I'm in shape, too, when I'm doing it. So I'm always training, and so when I got the call, I just took my training up a little bit more. That's it.
Wow, so that must have been something. When you got that phone call, was it that phone call you've always been waiting for? And they said, God, I finally got my opportunity.
Yeah, like you said, what I've been waiting for. I was actually, at the time I was at my school, I was getting some messages off of Twitter, which was from Saul Shelby, and sort of my manager called me and said, they have this spot open, you want to take it? I'm like, yeah, it was actually an awesome day because it was on June 29th, which is my birthday.
Wow.
During while I was teaching, and my family came and surprised me. It all happened all at once. It was a really awesome birthday present.
Well, I'm pretty sure you'll never forget this birthday. Now, going against Marcus Brimage, he's a wrestler. He's been in the UFC for some time now, but in his past five fights, his record, hasn't been that great. He's been 2-3. What can you tell me about Marcus going into this fight?
Definitely, he's a tough opponent. He looks strong, and, I'm looking forward to fighting him. Not much I can say. He looks well-rounded, and I'm excited for the fight.
Anything in particular, though, that really catches your attention that you're training for?
No, not at all.
So you're going into the it's just I guess ironic, but you, Ultimate Fighter, him and Ultimate Fighter, is just here you are from two fighters from different seasons, and you meet inside the octagon. You making your debut, and then Brimage actually already had been there in the octagon. Kind of ironic.
Yeah, it is. It is kind of ironic. It's funny though, but it's cool. I'm excited for it.
But have you been seeing some of his fights? You've been studying it, some of his moves?
Yeah.
Now tell me a little bit about how you got involved with mixed martial arts, a little history about yourself.
I've been training since actually I was a kid. I started training when I was in Tiger Showman since I was 8 years old. And then from there I kind of just stuck with it. I loved it. It was fun. And I just kind of took it further. And as you get better, you want to compete and go further. I started competing, started going further with it, and then, one thing led to another. I started doing amateur MMA, and then from amateur I went pro, and I just, fell in the right footsteps.
Now, you have a descendant there of Hispanic. Where's your descendants from?
My father is Puerto Rican.
So knowing that us Hispanics, we love boxing, did you by any chance start off with boxing first, or did you go full-blown into MMA?
Nah, never started off boxing. I started off with, I was tired of someone's karate, but we still did MMA, like grapple, we kickboxing and all that. So I've been with Tyre Someone since I was 8 and been there ever since. But I started off with, you know, I guess you want to say MMA because, you know, even though they were karate back in the day, like 98, 99, we changed the name a couple years later. It was always, we always did grappling, we always did, you know, kickboxing, we never did point sparring, you know what I mean, stuff like that, so we always had that background.
Now, there is a time change from you know, United States here in the Eastern time zone to where you're headed to. Have you adjusted that? Any changes you've done to kind of prepare yourself mentally, or?
From
the time change?
No, I mean,
a couple of hours, of course.
No, not at all. Myself and with my trainer, I always focus to be well-rounded, so I don't just work on my hands, or I just don't work on my kicks, so I don't just work on my wrestling or my grappling, I work on everything, so I can be, you know, the best I can and be and perform at a high level, so I'm always looking to get better at everything and take it to the next level.
Gotcha, Jimmy. Well, El Terror Rivera gets into action this weekend against Marcus Brimage, UFC Fight Night 72. Jimmy, I want to wish you good luck and hope to talk to you very soon about the victory.
Good, thank you.
Thank you, Jimmy. Have a good day. Hello, everyone, and welcome again. We are sorry for that issue there, having some technical issues. But regardless, we are back in the program. Thanks for very much for joining us here. And now we are welcoming George Alonso, who joins us on the other line. George, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, great, wonderful. We're back in action. You heard there the words of Jimmy Rivera, who takes on Marcus Brimage this weekend on the UFC Fight Night. Make sure you tune in. It all kicks off on UFC Fight Pass. But George, before we speak about pro wrestling, I want to talk about what went on this weekend on the UFC 189 and the whole weekend itself, because I got to tell you, it was a magnificent time for all MMA fans. And even if you weren't a fan of MMA, it was just exciting because the fights were just phenomenal, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, listeners all around the world, welcome to The Showdown.
And it sure was a showdown. I mean, every fight from that UFC 189 fight card was off the chain. There's no other word of saying it, off the chain, because you know, you can grab every single fight from that fight card and grab the snippets and just make it into a highlight reel. Because there were knee knockouts, that Robbie Lawler and Rory McDonald fight. Rory seemed like he had it. He ended it by hitting him with this combo, which ended up breaking up Rory McDonald's nose, sending him straight to the hospital. And then they had the courtesy, and that's what the MMA is all about. Took a picture together after that war. And the Conor McGregor and Chad Mendes fight, many thought that Conor, you know, on the books, it seemed, or it should have been, that Chad Mendes should have defeated Conor McGregor, but it proved us wrong. To this day, George, I have a bone to pick about this, because till this day, sure, he only had 2 weeks to get ready. I'll take you that. No, nothing granted. But now the reports are saying that Conor McGregor didn't even train for wrestling for this upcoming fight. Because remember, he was getting prepared for Jose Aldo, the featherweight champion, who was taken out of the fight because of an injury, a rib injury. And we know that Jose Aldo loves to stand up. And now they give him Chad Mendes. He wrestled the hell out of Conor McGregor. Conor McGregor couldn't do anything on the ground. How in the world does Chad Mendes not capitalize on a freaking submission? Come on, Chad. You train with the alpha males. You're known for your rear naked chokes, your guillotines. And you can't get a freaking submission? Come on, Chad. I was so disappointed, George. So disappointed.
Well, I don't know what to tell you, but, you know, I did mention last week that my money was on McGregor, so it ended up being that McGregor won with a very, very stiff punch to the face. I believe it was a left hook that knocked him down. I believe it was in round two.
Yeah, it was in the round two, 4 minutes and 47 seconds. And the fight started off with McGregor with this flashy kick. And, of course, that's not going to work. I mean, Chad Mendes is a respectable fighter. He's fought for the title. He's a guy who can bring it. But I don't know what excuses there is to be. But all I can tell you is, as a fighter with the experience that Chad Mendes is, you're fighting a stand-up guy. You're beating him on the floor. How are you not going to capitalize on a freaking submission? At one point, you know, I was thinking that Chad Mendes, since he knew he had control on the ground, it almost seemed that he wanted to let Conor back up so he could knock him out. But look, yes, I understand you want to give people a show. I get that. But at the end of the day, if you know you are good at something and that's on the ground, and Frank, I mean, let's be frank here. The ground is not as exciting as a stand-up game. But if you have an opportunity to finish it, finish it! Why are you doing all these things, letting him up? I mean, it's like he gave the fight away.
That's what a lot of people are actually wondering or attacking the UFC about, saying that this was a fixed fight. I don't know what to tell you in that, because I don't believe in fixed fights, but the way you're sounding like, and the way that people are sounding like on social media, Mr. Roman, do you feel like it was a fixed fight?
I just feel that Chad Mendes wanted to prove a point to fans that Conor McGregor is not the hype that they're making him out to be, and I'm going to prove this by knocking him out. And McGregor and Mendes, they were both tired in the second round. I mean, towards the end of that first round, they looked exhausted. I would have loved to have seen them go five rounds because I don't know if they had any gas in the tank.
Because McGregor has never passed the first round.
Yep.
So this was a challenge for him.
Mendes has, but Mendes has gone, you know, the distance, but he only really had just 2 weeks to train for this title fight. But I hate to do this. I really hate to do this, but goes back to Kimbo and Shamrock. Shamrock knows what he is doing on the ground. He knows not to stand up with Kimbo Slice because Kimbo Slice can knock him out, especially with the age gap there. Shamrock had the perfect opportunity to lay down the hand and choke him out, and he didn't. Same thing with this. Just very upsetting. But I want to talk about something positive about that fight card, and that's the rest of the card. That's Robbie Lawler versus Rory McDonald. What a freaking fight. Lawler retains the welterweight title. Lawler has proved a lot of critics wrong. Many people thought that he was going to lose, that he wasn't going to bring it. But Robbie McDonald's takedown defense is great. His boxing is crisp, although we're getting some bad information now that his boxing coach has retired from Robbie Lawler's camp. So we'll see how much of an effect that has in future fights. But both these guys are just world-class athletes. And to me, and it was something disappointing because everybody was focused on Conor McGregor, this fight right there, fight of the year, that was a fight. That was two warriors with guts and heart giving it their all. And to me, that in itself was well worth that entire pay-per-view, because that fight was something that everyone where I was standing on their feet and clapping, amazed at the endurance and heart and courage that both these men had inside the octagon. And I want to talk about the rest of the fight card briefly here. There were two knee knockouts. I mean, it was insane. Thomas Almeida with a flying knee, and then you had Jeremy Stephens with the TKO on that knee as well on Dennis Bermudez out of nowhere. I mean, this fight card, man, it was just awesome. Every single thing, George. It was just phenomenal. And then, sadly, our good friend, Yosdeni Cedeño, who we had here on the program last week, he ended up losing against Cody Pfister. He just basically wrestled him the entire time. But UFC 189, by far, one of the best fight cards. I don't think it was the best, as Dana White has been saying, but it is one of the best because every fight card was great. We don't know the numbers yet, but allegedly Dana White has said that pay-per-view buys looking good to exceed 1 million buys. And then it comes down, George, to the topic that everyone wants to talk about. Is Conor McGregor a bigger draw for the UFC than Brock Lesnar, or is he as much?
I don't think he's bigger than Brock Lesnar. Like, when Brock Lesnar first ever came into the UFC, a lot of fans were wanting to see this former WWE superstar step into the octagon and get his ass kicked by Frank Mir, as a matter of fact. Needless to say, he did. He did get his ass kicked. As a matter of fact, he tapped to Frank Mir. But a lot of people were more like buying tickets and buying pay-per-views, hateful for Brock Lesnar, trying to see, hey, I want to see this guy get his ass kicked. Because here's this guy who was coming into our home. And I think it was kind of like, I don't know, like the way Triple H would say, Brock Lesnar was a global, you know, phenomenon, that no matter where he goes, he basically, you know, brings his fame with him. So I think McGregor still has a lot to go to fill in the shoes of a Brock Lesnar in the octagon.
Yeah, and it's, everybody wants to see the fight, Jose Aldo and McGregor, and I have to tell you, there's no better other way than the way it turned out to be, because allegedly they're looking at this fight to happen perhaps on January 2nd, just in case there is a contingency plan, which is Frankie Edgar would be up next to fight Conor McGregor. And I know Frankie Edgar will defeat Conor McGregor, because Frankie Edgar, you know, he's kind of in the same status as Chad Mendes, but I'm pretty sure he will not let that issue of the mistakes that Chad Mendes did, I'm sure Frankie Edgar will not do that. In fact, right after the fight, Frankie Edgar walked up to the octagon and called out McGregor and said, hey, what's up? You know, if Jose Aldo is not going to be here, then I'll step up to the plate. Moving forward, by the way, Frank Mir faces Todd Duffy tonight. You mentioned Frank Mir. He is returning to the octagon. Let's see if this veteran and former UFC heavyweight champion still got it. Speaking about returns, speaking about making a comeback, word is that the last emperor, heavyweight legend Fedor Emelianenko, is coming back. According to a Russian MMA news outlet, Union MMA, appears that the 38-year-old is going to be inside the cage or ring to compete MMA once again. And I quote, for every athlete, it is very important to be able to engage in their favorite thing, give all the best in training, performing in competitions, defending the honor of the motherland, he said. But now I feel that it is time to return to the ring. I was able to recover and heal old wounds the last 3 years. I have maintained the physical form, but this level is not enough to go into battle. Therefore, I recently started intensive training. We assembled a team of versatile coaches and athletes who will help me in the training process. Negotiations are underway with promotions. Once agreements are reached, there will be information on the date of the fight and opponent. Fedor Emelianenko, obviously a legend at his time, Everybody wanted to see that fight between him and Brock Lesnar. That obviously never happened, but we would love to see it happen, perhaps. But it's not going to happen because Brock is not with WWE and has signed a contract that he cannot break. But his last fight was in 2012, and that was an N1 Global where he defeated Pedro Pizzo. And we all remember when he was defeated 3 times in a row by Fabrice Verdum, the current UFC heavyweight champion, followed by Antonio Bigfoot Silva and Dan Henderson. He had back-to-back-to-back losses in Strikeforce, and then that's when he ended up going to M1 Global. He defeated Jeff Bunson, Satoshi Ishii, and Pedro Pizzo, 3 guys that really are not in the caliber of a Silva, Verdum, and a Henderson. Regardless, to say, if Fedor returns, George, where do you, I personally see this guy in a Bellator, since Bellator seems to be picking up these guys that were names 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and putting them up maybe, shoot, why not? Put him up against Akimbo Slice. I know that Akimbo Slice will be destroyed by Fedor, though. I don't care what age he is.
Well, Fedor was a guy that was known all over the world, and the guy was only fighting internationally back in the day. And on top of that, one of the most longest reigning undefeated fighters I've ever heard of, back in the day as well. As a matter of fact, what sent him to retirement was the 2 knockouts that he actually got at the end of his first run. But I would love to see him in either Bellator or UFC, for that matter. I think he has a great challenge ahead of him. Does he still have it in him? Of course. Will the 2 knockouts still maybe affect him? I think so, because, you know, after that, Mr. Roman, I have to say he still probably has doubt in his head saying, does he still have it, you know, because after those 2 unexpected knockouts, after being undefeated for so long, there's a couple people I would love to see him fight coming into, back into MMA, but let's see how he does first in his first fight, because, of course, he has to test the waters first to see if he still got it. But again, I'm happy to see a guy like Fedor return after, of course, his international reputation and, of course, the longest reigning undefeated streak of it as being a fighter.
Well, I will tell you this. You got 2 former foes there that one he was scheduled to fight and never happened, and the other he did fight and he knocked out. And I'm talking about Andrei Arlovski. Fedor knocked him out in an Affliction pay-per-view. And you have Josh Barnett, who that fight was supposed to happen, but because of Barnett using illegal substances, that fight did not take place. And I remember they ended up canceling the entire pay-per-view. But those are possible fights that he can do. Obviously, Arlovski has been on a roll in the UFC, and shoot, he might get vengeance. And I'm sure that Arlovski would love to get his hands on Fedor Emelianenko to erase that loss, but it'd be nice. It'd be great. Why not? But again, does the UFC bank on Fedor Emelianenko? They've been trying to get him for years. He charges a lot of money. Does it make financial sense? We don't know. We just have to wait and see. Also, Fedor can get his revenge, perhaps, on Dan Henderson if he moves up. And Bigfoot. It'd be nice to see him back, but will he bring it? Will he be the same? We just have to wait and see what happened. Now, on a sad note, George, I want to end up this MMA showdown with some unfortunate news that we learned over this past week. Boxing legend and MMA promoter Howard Davis Jr. Has been diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. The man is battling for his life right now. I personally had the opportunity of working with Howard Davis Jr. and I remember spending time with him and talking about his great career as an Olympic boxer, winning the gold medal back in 1976, and talking a little bit about his pro career as well. His son Daya is also a professional boxer himself. And it's pretty sad for me to even discuss about this or read about it or know about it or get informed about it, because it touched me. You know, it's a guy that I had a lot of respect for. He is very, 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 very determined and was very attentive and disciplined to what he loved, and that's boxing. He loved boxing, and he was a coach also at American Top Team, where he coached in boxing several of the fighters who are right now in the UFC. So, Howard, all I can say, my man, keep fighting. You're a true champion, and hope to see you very soon in the octagon, in the cage. I know that they're going to have, Fight Time is going to have an event this Friday, but they have also dedicated the Howard Davis Jr. Gala in August. And you can find out for more information on the their website, fighttimepromotions.com. So check that out. And just keep fighting, champ. You got this, Howard. We'll be praying for you. All right, George, with that, we're going to tune in now in just a few seconds. We're going to take a break, quick little break. We'll be right back with more on The Roman Show. Again, check us out on our website, RodolphoRoman.com. If you guys need an affordable website, you need to go to OchoaOnline.com. That's OchoaOnline.com. They are responsible for The Roman Show website. That's OchoaOnline.com. Check them out, and you'll have yourself a nice website for an affordable price. Let them know The Roman Show sent you. Well, George, I want to congratulate you as I enjoy my tea here on Otaku Life. You had a very successful first debut show, man. I spoke about it earlier on the program. Didn't know if you were going to make it, but you were able to come on the program. So kudos to you, man.
Thank you. Thank you very much. As a matter of fact, we return with our second episode this coming Sunday. But before I go into that, you know, I had an amazing team. I love the team I work with. Great first guest in Elia Garcia. We learned a couple of things about him when it comes to his art. And man, I was shocked. I was not in a bad way, of course, but in a good way. And I'm extremely humbled for all the listeners and all the support we received for our debut episode. So I'm speechless right now. It's the best That's way awesome. I could say it.
That's awesome. And I know that there'll be a lot more of that Otaku Life. Check them out every Sunday or anytime you want on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio. That's what The Roman Show is. And so is that Otaku Life, all in the same The Roman Show network. So look forward to checking out your next program on Sunday. I know you and I are going to have some cosplay action later this evening at the local restaurant here at PDQ, where everyone's going to dress up as Guardians of the Galaxy. So I'm going to be taking some selfies with some of these characters.
As a matter of fact, aren't you covering the event as well? So I'm pretty sure they're going to be coming to you. You don't have to go look for them. They'll be coming to you. So
nice to know that. We'll be ready for today, man.
Yep, and we got some major announcements, especially a big surprise for something that's going to be happening at a restaurant for the first time down here in local in Miami, Florida. So, Mr. Roman, I'm pretty sure even for a person like you that you're going to be surprised with this huge announcement.
All right, I'll be waiting for it, and now that's going to take us into our next segment.
Reality check.
All right, man. Finally, the divas in the main roster of the WWE are getting some praise. NXT divas, Charlotte, Becky Lynch, and Sasha Banks, the NXT Divas Champion, made their debut on Monday Night Raw this past Monday. And I must say, everyone in that arena were on their feet screaming, "This is awesome." It's about time, George. It's about time that we get some good quality divas inside the squared circle. And finally, we'll bring some respectability to that division.
Well, it all started with the hashtag of Give Divas a Chance. And now look where it is, because, Mr. Roman, I have never, ever, for the life of me, as a WWE fan, have ever heard the fans actually pop like they did this past Monday Night Raw when they brought in the NXT Divas. As a matter of fact, you know, I was actually expecting to see a three-way dance or a three-way being, you know, 3-3-3 this coming Battleground, but I don't think they're going to book it, but most likely they will have it for maybe SummerSlam or who knows when, because they set it up. But I love the fact that they finally called up Charlotte, Sasha Banks, and of course Becky Lynch, which I believe is replacing Bayley, that was supposed to be called up, but due to her broken hand, that set her backwards a little bit.
Yeah, that's just amazing to see these three divas in there that have been ready. Now, I just hope that the same type of quality matches they had or they have had in NXT, they bring the same onto the main roster. Because if you've never seen NXT and you've never seen these girls in action, get ready for some good action. And maybe, George, we might be able to see one of these divas. It hasn't been done since Lita and Trish on the main event of Monday Night Raw.
They could
even the pay-per-view.
They could do it. Well, I don't know about pay-per-view, but for Monday Night Raw or Friday Night SmackDown, they could do it. Because, again, they have the talent, Mr. Roman, and you've seen it on the NXT product. They do have the talent, and they have the main event know-how to do it. As a matter of fact, Charlotte and Natalya, when they fought for the first ever NXT championship, for the women's championship, they put on a wrestling clinic. Same thing for Sasha Banks and Becky Lynch, where they actually got, you know, continuous reviews from everywhere, from fans to legends, saying that was a main event match and an NXT match of the year. So we could see a lot of things happening now for the Divas division.
I also, because they well deserve it. You know, I was a big fan of the TNA Knockouts, but obviously, that's not the same anymore. So to have the Divas and WWE bring this type of quality of action is definitely going to give that division a boost and some more credibility to these ladies that really put on a hell of a show. Moving forward, George, I want to give an update on what happened with Roddy Piper's podcast. It's really sad, George. He tweeted out yesterday that he heard that on podcast one, had put a cease and desist saying he cannot do any other podcast anywhere because of Steve's feelings. He even put really question mark. This all goes back after Roddy Piper had a comedian, Will Sasso, impersonating Austin. He made some jokes about him. Austin got a little offended. Podcast One immediately pulled that podcast of Roddy Piper out. Piper said, I want out of the contract. He ended up putting a podcast on SoundCloud and other media formats. And now Podcast One is saying, listen, you can't do this anymore. This is pretty sad, George, because this is a legend. You know, all he wants to do is have a little fun. And because some things were maybe taken out of hand, now he can't do anything.
This goes again back to what I was saying before. This became, you know, from a professional thing to a little kid's thing of saying, mommy, look what he did. And then all of a sudden mommy decided, hey, I'm going to take away your favorite toy. You know, this could have all been avoided if, hey, Stone Cold, Roddy Piper has a phone number. So does, hey, Roddy Piper, Steve Austin has a phone number. This could have easily just been handled by phone conversation. Okay? Simple as that. Hey, Stone Cold, you didn't like it? Let's call up Roddy Piper. Hey, listen, Piper, I didn't like what you did. Okay, I'm sorry, Steve. I'm going to take it down or probably edit it. Okay, end the story, shake hands. But nowadays, everyone loves the publicity. Everyone loves going out of their way to contact the higher-ups and then, you know, bring it out on the news and all that stuff because their egos ask for it. guys, when do you ever realize not only are you hurting a person, but you're hurting their family when you take them out like this? Okay, so for one, stop thinking about your ego and start thinking about how this is going to affect everyone.
Seriously,
God, this
man,
really pissing.
It's so ridiculous. It was just a joke, and things were taking out of proportion. Give the guy a break. Let him do his freaking podcast. What's the big deal? He's not hurting anyone. Just let him do what he wants. Pretty unfortunate.
You know,
and pretty sad.
You know what? You're a huge supporter of the Howard Stern Show. I say, Howard, bring these two on your show and settle it. You know, the most controversial radio show, the Howard Stern Show, I say bring on Steve Austin, and I say bring on Roddy Piper.
Hell, why not give Roddy Piper a program on the Howard Stern channel? That'd be even better. Because, you know, he has his 24/7 channel. Why not? Well, we'll keep that in mind, Howard, if you're listening. That'd be pretty cool. We got a plug on the Stern Show. Oh, we made it after that. All right, George, tuning
you're welcome.
Turning now to another side. Obviously, this Sunday, you got WWE Battleground, the main event, Seth Rollins versus Brock Lesnar. WWE World Heavyweight title on the line. Cena versus Owens, U.S. Championship title on the line. Orton versus Sheamus, primetime player versus The New Day, the WWE Tag Team Championship on the line. Ryback versus Big Show versus The Miz for the Intercontinental title. Reigns versus Wyatt and R-Truth versus King Barrett. We've already spoken about Cena and Owens. More than likely, Owens will win the title, which would be cool. And then obviously, they'll settle the score in SummerSlam. And then you got Rollins and Lesnar. We've already spoken about that. But, you know, it seems that a lot of the fire has been taken away from the Intercontinental Championship now that Ryback has his title. They used to have a lot more, support for the Intercontinental title. Now it's kind of in the back burner.
Well, they when they first, you know, did this whole United States and Intercontinental title fiasco, they wanted to put it on two people that were going to bring back the reputation back to the belts. Hence why they gave the Intercontinental title at WrestleMania to Daniel Bryan, and look what ended up happening. So, I don't know how far you could go with Ryback. Ryback is actually over with the crowd. I'm not saying that he's not. He's constantly talked about how he turns every negative into a positive, hence why he says the whole feed me more. And he's getting a lot of, push behind that. But is it enough to bring back the reputation to the Intercontinental title? I don't think so. Hence why I think they put him into this feud with the Big Show, because the Big Show is a veteran, a guy that could actually, you know, put Ryback over, and then you got your little middle guy with Miz. Now, when it comes to the Battleground match, I'm expecting a big, big surprise. I expect Ryback to come out as the winner, but Mr. Roman, can we see a double shell shock on Big Show while also having The Miz in it at the same time?
No,
this coming.
You think so?
Maybe we could see a surprise. You never know.
That'd be insane. That would be insane. But I will definitely put Ryback on the top. Jeez, that'd be crazy. One thing that's upsetting, Cesaro had the support of the crowd this entire time. He is not even on this pay-per-view. Pretty sad. Pretty sad.
It is pretty sad, but it was already written this way. Now, I'm not saying Cesaro is never going to see the light of day when it comes to pay-per-view. Maybe he will be on this pay-per-view. Maybe he will cause a double disqualification, and the predictions that you and I had going into the Owens and Cena match has completely been changed. Where, remember what has been happening for the last 2 weeks, Mr. Roman. Rusev and Cesaro now are back into the United States title picture. And Owens has cost them both a chance at the title. Can it be that now things will change and going into this pay-per-view, and both Cesaro and Rusev will actually, put their names in the hat when it comes to the United States title and possibly cause a double disqualification and maybe even leading to a fatal four-way at SummerSlam. Have you ever thought about that?
I don't know, but I like the idea, George. I'm just going to have to wait and see on Sunday night as WWE Battleground takes place live on the WWE Network for only, George?
$9.99. Or for the constant, for the constant first-time users, free. I feel like canceling my network every time. Sheesh.
Right? Get a freebie. Well, that has been this week's reality show, reality check segment.
And now it's time to give you a reality check.
All right, folks, that pretty much wraps up this week's The Roman Show. Make sure you check out that Otaku Life this weekend with George Alonso. One more time, who's going to be the guest, man?
Again, it's That Otaku Life. Join me and my team of Molly May and Harley's Love Shack as, again, we come to you this coming Tuesday on The Roman Show Network. Which we obviously do a lot of. On top of that, we're going to have, of course, Jackie, the Spider Girl, veteran cosplayer on the show this coming Sunday. And we're also going to be talking a very touchy subject of sexual harassment at Comic-Cons this coming Sunday as well, as a lot of people like to take advantage of female cosplayers that's hit the news waves all over. I cannot wait to talk about that topic and a lot more fun stuff with Jackie the Spider Girl this coming Sunday with Harley's Love Shack and Molly May. Join in.
Awesome. Well, with that being said, that wraps up this week's episode. We'll catch you next week right here on The Roman Show Network. The Roman Show giving you the best in MMA, pro wrestling, and metal. We'll be back. See you next week. Enjoy the rest of the week.